Kof Vov Shvat, Sunday the 19th of February, Rabbi Pinchas Breuer, Purim and Yiddishkeit. This week has been sponsored by Family Perlman on the first yahrzeit of their mother, Basia Rochel, Bas Ephraim Meir, Arai HaShalom.
I think it's an interesting topic. It's not easy to find a way to speak on this topic. A very colourful presentation, the brochure. It's very Purimlik. There's missing a clown here, but it's good. There are complex issues on Purim. On the one hand, it seems to be a very serious Yom Tov, where even Yom Kippur is compared to it. Yom Kippur, the chashivas of Yom Kippur is because we compare it to Purim, just as Purim. We're also fully aware of the Kabbalah Satorah Me'ahavo that took place, that period, which is also in itself a very serious matter. And then we have what we call the frolicky part of Purim, with quite interesting customs of disguising ourselves, our children. Then we have this very unusual mitzvah of Chayiv Inish, Livsume Adeloyona, that a person has to drink until Loyoda is not aware, seemingly, Ben Oru Homon, the Baruch Mordechai, which seemingly it would imply that if he has to reach a stage where he doesn't know any difference between the two, where Orav and Hom and Baruch Mordechai, he might even change it around. It sounds a very strange mitzvah. And requesting it and obliging a person to do it. So this all needs a little explanation about this little paradox that we see on Purim. Other people do take it out of hand as well a little bit. The disguising part, it even leads to shyness if you start wearing women clothing, as the Rambam discusses in El Aloch of the Poskim. And the Adel Yoda, well, we all know. Especially our yeshiva boys are really at it. We remember the good old days. And sometimes the Adel Yoda is done in Mahadrin and Amhadrin. Unusual. With a big, you know, cheshik to do it in a proper way, that you might not be yotzei the mitzvah and anything less. But obviously, leaving all these jokes aside, I don't think this is a real meaning of Purim, as much as people would like to see it that way. It's more of a carnival of a day, very nice. But you know, Gedolim and Geit Eloch Yidden, for them Purim was a real day of Cheshbon HaNefesh, and a very serious day. And although others did engage themselves in an act of Adelo Yoda to reach a certain degree of drunkenness, but on the other hand, they utilized it for Avodas Hashem and to instill into their Talmidim and their followers great Avos Hashem and Avos HaToyo. So let me explain it a little bit. The matter of disguise, let's start off with that in a short way about disguising ourselves. It is mentioned in Sforim. I don't remember exactly where I saw, but I know it's mentioned, concerning Amalek himself having come and to attack us in disguise. Yishmak Nani Melech Harod, it's Yodua that Amalek transformed himself, that he didn't look like Amalek. So they came and attacked us in a disguise, which is interesting. We also find the famous battle, shall I say, the wrestling battle between Tzoreshel Esav and Yankov Ovinu. And the Gemara says in Chulin that this Malach, there's some that say that Nidmeloi Ketalmud Chochamim, he appeared as a Talmud Chocham, and the other Pshat is that Nidmeloi Taker, like Esav's Shliach should be seen as. What does this mean, Nidmeloi Ketalmud Chocham, or Nidmeloi like Tzoreshel Esav, which again seems to imply that he's coming to us in disguise, but always in a different disguise. And that's what we have to be fully aware of. Because we can well understand Amalek does not mean just the physical battle with some nation, because looking at it from the point of view that we see today, we have no idea what Amalek means. There might have been a nation once upon a time, and it was a grandson of Esav. Yeah, the Schusovers. There was an Amalek, the son of Eliphaz. When we talk about Amalek in present day terms, it's nothing to do with any special nation or any descendants of Amalek, even though there have been opinions amongst the Gedolim concerning the Germans as being descendants of Amalek. And there's a famous story, but today there's nothing to reveal any historical. Everything's been read in all the books today. Once upon a time we could tell anything and everything would be new. But today everybody knows everything. Hashem, we have good books today. But there's a story about Reb Chaim Kanievsky. I must mention it, and perhaps I'm not going to say every detail, I don't remember it so well. But there was a story about someone, a younger man, who was involved in an accident. And a certain couple was killed in that accident. A Goyish couple, I can imagine he was very upset. And he asked the Shaila to Reb Chaim what he has to do in such a case. It was an accident, but he felt very awkward. So Reb Chaim came up with a certain phrase. He just remarked, Mechias Amalek, to that extent. In other words, he referred this as being such an act of Mechias Amalek. He had no idea what Reb Chaim meant. Because Mamash Ruach HaKodesh, it's not simple what's going on there. Later on, it was this young gentleman or someone else, I can't tell you exactly, I don't remember all the details. I don't have to. And he said that someone was involved in selling a certain real estate. And he had to look up a house, which was for sale, and it happened to be the house of this pair, this couple that was killed in that accident. And he had to, survey it a little bit, as it goes in the real estate business. He had to look it up, and to see about, for the purchaser, to be able to know exactly what the house is about. He went into the house, and he went down into the cellar. And can you imagine what he saw in the cellar? Huge pictures on the wall, pictures of the German Reich, of the Yamach Shemoinik, only one mentioned his name in shul, and also swastikas and all the rest of it, all the emblems of the Nazi period. So this couple that was killed by him were actually supporters of the Nazi regime. And that's what Reb Chaim Kanievsky meant when he said Mechias Amalek when they got killed. Can you imagine that? They found in the cellar, and there is a goyim, it's said over of it, and Poisk could even mention it, that Mechias Amalek, Germany really portrays and symbolizes Amalek. And there have been shittas right through the ages concerning who Amalek is. But the Netziv, in Parshas B'Shalach, says and explains, Amalek, we do not mean a certain nation. Amalek portrays and symbolizes everything that's bad in this world. And he comes to attack Klal Yisrael, as we said before, in various disguises. Anything which has to do with Ra, which is associated with Ra, whether it's in a physical sense of the word, and even more so in the spiritual sense of the word, they are the Shluchim of Amalek. And as we said before, it always comes in different disguises. There's a lot to talk about that, but I'm not going into it. What Nidmanoi Ketalmud Chochem means, what's the meaning of appearing at the Talmud Chochem and being Soros Shel Esav. Well, obviously, as others explain, and I've seen it in this way, that Nivelik Talmud Chochem means many times you have influences coming from various sources who pretend that they're showing us the way of Torah, noch mit Ashtikel Torah, mit Nivelik Talmud Chochem. And the while at the same time, the Gemara is trying to tell us that they are Shluchim of Amalek. And they're trying to make us deviate from the path, the true path of Torah. You have Shluchim who might even appear in the disguise of a Talmud Chochem. I'm not going into detail, and it's happened through the ages. You've had these sort of Talmidei Chachomim who really led Klal Yisrael astray, Rachmona Litzlan. And then we have the general trend of the country that we live in, who are also Shluchim of Amalek in many, many disguises. We have to be aware. We have to be aware not to be carried away with all those false ideals which are totally alien to the Mahalach of the Torah. And we should well understand there's no way that we can combat the evil which is approaching us, or better to say, attacking us and conquering us from all sides, from front and from back and from right and from left. Only by treading upon the path of Torah mitzvahs. Because the best way of being able to conquer and combat evil and Ra, which is based on Sheker, and therefore there's so many disguises, because Sheker never has one way, it comes in various forms and disguises, we can only fight it with truth. Emes is the greatest koyach to combat Sheker. And once we have the Emes facing us, all the Sheker falls at the wayside. I want to tell you an interesting vort. I might have said it once, I'm getting a bit older, so I've forgotten, might be. But I have a vort of a stipler. In Birchas Peretz, it explains a chazal of Abbe Koyen Bardelo on the story about Yosef revealing himself to his brothers. And at the same time, when the donkey, the ass, told Bilam, Aloy Olochi Asoncho, Asher Ochafto Olai Mi Oidi Vadayoy Mazer. And what did Bilam respond? He was lost, totally lost. Well, this Bilam, this schemer, this rosher, liar, with all his other titles, he couldn't answer back to a silly donkey. You know, donkey is the most silliest of animals. And he was a wisecracker amongst all the Chachmei Adoya, a great philosopher, a novi. He couldn't answer back and tell the donkey to stop fooling. He just kept quiet and agreed to what the donkey had to say. Why? He managed to get on with all the people and find his way there with all his schemes. And he came to the donkey, just was like, dumb. Speechless, he couldn't even answer the donkey. Dr. Amir had gesagt, this title. He said, the greatest shakran, even somebody who is deeply stooped in lies and treachery and all the rest of it, but the moment he faces the real truth, the complete truth, without any sidelines to it, just the truth itself, then he gets totally lost and bottle mevotel. He can only find his way and be able to attack when he sees that there's some sheker in the opposition. But the moment he sees it's kuloy emes and he's faced all around with the kuloy emes, he has nothing more to say, he gets totally lost with himself. Dr. Stipler Azoy. Of course Bilam was a great schemer, and he managed to get his way through with all the people in a very evil way. When you face a donkey talking, you have to understand, first of all, a donkey is too foolish and too silly to be able to say lies or not. You know, when a donkey is, whatever he says, it's meanest. And also the nest that the donkey spoke, it had to be created at Ben Ashmoshes, as the Mishnah says in Ovis, pure awesome. So here he faced the real, authentic truth when he heard that donkey speak. So even Bilam got lost. The same applies to the brothers of Yosef. When they heard this Ani Yosef, the truth came out in its entirety in 1 second. They were totally lost for words. The same applies in the future when we're going to face the Bezdin Shalmailo. Stipler could say it because he lived that way. We very often in life, we're scheming our own life sometimes. We're not true with ourselves. And this I'm going to elaborate a little bit on soon. And then we face the Osir Lover, we're going to face the truth. Here we're always trying to pretend. Might be pretending in front of other people, and the greatest problem is when you pretend against yourself. When you're not true with yourself as well, you want to forget the truth and try to cover up. Mechaseh pshov, as Shlomo HaMelech says, lo yatzliach. You want to cover up for your own iniquities, for your own sin. It doesn't work that way. But this way you can get away with it. Many people do in public what they would not, act differently what they act in private. In private they would permit themselves to do things which would never dare. It wouldn't be for their prestige and for their dignity and their honor to do it in public. This is again not a truthful with yourself. I heard once that there was a certain godel who was sitting on a table with certain others, and they brought ice cream onto the table. It's a silly thing I'm going to say now, but it's true. They brought ice cream onto the table and they refrained from eating the ice cream. So it's not passed, you know, to start gulping ice cream in front of the whole island. Here he's presenting himself as a holy being. You don't eat ice cream. But this Godel said, his father taught him that whatever you do at home, you can do in public as well. If you eat it at home, don't be ashamed to eat it in public. And he did eat the ice cream. Okay? Don't cheat yourself in life and live with pretenses. And very often we are like that. But as Steipler says, when we're going to face HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Paman Yisrael Mailo with all the tzaddikim shebechol adoiros, and they're going to ask you questions, blunt questions, there's no way of deviating from the truth. Although he might have lived in lies, but he faced the imminent truth in Belzim Shalmailowich, Kuloi Emes Mikolat Stodin, the Emes Lamito, then a person becomes bottle and mubutled, speechless, he has nothing more to answer. Oy lonu mi yoim hadin, oy lonu mi yoim atoychoche. When the Rebbeinu Shem call him a mechiach, a person, and you will have nothing to answer for yourself. And all your old stories. I remember I had a balbois, a very simple one, tmimus. In business, he wasn't too straight. He came from a certain neighborhood where they weren't so straight, the people, anyhow. And he always had the customs by him and the police, and he always bribed them with, you know, with nice cake. Or he bribed them sometimes with a bit of money. And then I came there, and I started giving my pirkei avos, everybody has what to say. And I was talking about in the chesed, that in the world to come, you cannot get on the way you get on here, you have to face the truth there. He says to me, you're making life very, he went around town saying I'm making life difficult for him, because he thought he'd get away with it upstairs as well, you know. I don't know how he gets his capes along upstairs, or his dollars that he wanted to give them, but he thought he could get away with it upstairs. Suddenly I'm coming to tell him this din v'chedin. But believe me, he changed his ways. He started becoming more erlich in general. I'm not going to go into, you know who it is, believe me, but I'm not going to say. The Shom is a good reader, he was a nice man, a big Bar Chesed. But he wasn't straightforward, anyhow. That's it. So let's go back to what the Steipler says. When you face the Bezel Shalmailo, it's going to be Oilonu. If we try to pray it in a tricky way, it doesn't go. That's Kulayanis. I think is a time to reveal the truth in yourself as well. Because the fight that we have Amalek, which is actually the essence of Purim, Amalek comes to us in many disguises. And as I said, the only way to fight him and to combat him is with the truth of Torah. Because once you look for the emes in Torah, with the Kabbalah Satorah Me'ahavo, all these shkorim, which are permeating the world at large, everywhere, and really creeping into every society, but if you follow the path of Torah with an emes, with a havo, not because you're being coerced to it, you're doing it mehavo, you want to know the derech haTorah, and you want to do it in the right way, then all the shkorim will fall to the wayside. As I said before, but kinegedim emes lamito, there is no room for sheker in them to stand up and face it. I have an interesting pshat, what I mentioned before at the beginning, of chayiv inish levesume, bepuri ad eloyoda. So we said it's an interesting mitzvah, to tell a person to shikker himself until he's not even aware the difference in other homen. What's the point of all that? I'm not saying there are pshotim, and we get a story on Rabbi Nunissim, there are nice pshotim, you can look it up yourself. But I said a vote, and I was Boch Hashem Mechavim to my great Rabbi, Rabbi Shmuel Rozovsky, the Chavik Livrocha, Mamish Mille Ben Mille, what I'm going to say now, so it made me feel really good that I was Zoycha to me Mechavim to him. I think there's a different kavone in Chazal when they say Adne Lo Yoda. And going back to the concept we mentioned before, we're not even aware, believe me, because the person who really doesn't live with a real cheshbon nefesh is not aware how often we are cheating ourselves. A lot of our behavior right through the year, and we might feel good at it, we do certain things, but sometimes we are doing things in disguise. We're doing things just to show other people, to present ourselves in such a way. But deep, deep in our hearts, sometimes we might be yearning and longing for something else. It doesn't always comply. The echo bepeh, the echo believe. We might be saying certain things in public, which is not an easy thing, especially if you're an orator, a davshan. Saying in public, behaving in a certain way in public, but it's not you. You're just pretending. Which reminds me of a story that they say that the Satmar Rebbe once, Tzadik Levroche, we still remember when he came to England, the Satmar Rebbe, there was one of his Hasidim playing a Purim spiel in front of him and imitating the Satmar Rebbe in a very good way. You know, these Hasidim are terrific at that. And he was imitating the Rebbe with all the shtick from the Rabistle. Exactly. He followed every move of his. I hope he understood the Torah as well, but he could follow his moves at least. And suddenly, in the middle of everything, everyone was in a good mood, laughing their heads off, and the Satmar Rebbe started crying in the middle of it. He said, Rebbe, what's he going to say? Everybody's laughing. Like by Rabbi Kiva, he divine to their lach. What's going on? Why are you crying when everybody's laughing? The Satmar Rebbe said, I'm beginning to think myself, who knows if I'm not imitating someone as well? I mean, it came to mind to him, if he can copy me so well, not being a truthful Rebbe, who knows what I'm doing? Perhaps I'm also imitating, I'm not myself. But he thought that way. Rabbi, it's very often, and a lot of things that we do, I can't go into detail, because Lev Yedei Amor HaSnafshoi, but very often, we do things under false pretenses, if that's the right word to use. We do a lot of things, but it's not us. Deep, deep under, it's not us. We're playing. We're portraying. We're showing. We're presenting. It's an hatzagah, we call it. But it's not us. In your heart, you're longing for something else. You're not practicing. And sometimes, even if you practice what you preach in public, but not in private, you're not exactly what you're saying. So you're just simply cheating yourself. You'll be merame es atzmecho. Now, there has to be a time in the year. And believe me, sometimes even Yom Kippur and Rosh Hashanah, I'm not trying to say any negative things about Yidden, but you know, we're all in the same boat. Everybody means it well. But sometimes even Yom Kippur and Rosh Hashanah, we can make an extra exertion, you know, with our specialty. But it's not us. Or Raya, a day later, you know, it's back to square one. We're not exactly what we think we are. On the other hand, we have to do what we can. At least the Yom and the Royal. But there has to be a certain day in the year where we can bring out the Emes. To know who we really are. How are we going to prove who we really are before we leave this world? We have to find out in this world if we're going on the right path, right? Dr. Wilson. Purim is the day. And I'll tell you why. That's the Groyskite of Purim. In a certain way more than Yom Kippur. Because if you want to know and judge a person for what he really is, the best thing is to test him when he is in a subconscious state of mind. Because all our pretending is when our mind is functioning, our chushim, and we think, what should I do now? And everybody's a bit intelligent for himself. Here I have to present myself like this and like this, so he's working it out, calculating how he should act. But if you put a person in a drunken state, and he loses his state of mind, his chushim don't work, and he doesn't think twice before he says anything, whatever he says in that state of drunkenness, and in a subconscious state of mind, that is the person. Then the truth comes out. As a famous saying, Nichnas Yayin Yotza Soit. Both are Gematria 70. It's all the old Torahs which have been repeated thousands of times. Obviously, Doya Soit. Yayin brings out Soit. Which Soit are we talking? Which Soit are we trying to reveal? The soil of your pnimius. Who are you? And very often, I must say, I was a bit upset at some people who I did think and held of them, you know, during the year. And then they got a bit thicker, they began to say funny things. It didn't even fit to the person that he portrayed himself all year. Came out certain things he should not have said. That's it. Thank God, he made me thicker once. I know he man, he mixed a lot of drinks. The Choshev Yidam, Abetz Teure, but he enjoyed himself, so, and I wasn't aware what I was doing. And he made me real sick. Yeah, then I had to vomit out. I can't surmise it. But Baruch Hashem, I only sang Jewish songs. My whole repertoire, whenever I know, I sang that time. I was a sugar, I'm not saying. My wife was not too happy about my behavior, but she'd been moichel me since. And I sang just Jewish songs, or the Heimish songs, yeshivish, whatever it came about. Didn't catch me on any funny things, you know. Ooh, that's dangerous. Pretending it's dangerous. So, if a person drinks, and then he starts talking, and all the soites come out, there's a beautiful story from some soifers, Talmud, or somebody from Pressburg. It was called Zuckermandel. It's bring down, the story's brought down by Richard. I'm not going to go into the whole lengthy story as it is, but it's a story about someone who all his life in Yerushalayim he was looked at a real Amhoretz. His name was Zuckermandel. He's always saying Tillim, and the little Yerushalayim, the Chutzpenyakis, used to turn the Siddur around, you know, and he continued saying as if he couldn't read properly. And he presented himself in a manner that he's a simple Amhoretz. All his life in Yerushalayim. But then, when he turned 70, he was once standing and acting on Purim in front of the Lublin Rof, the Teuras Chesed of Shneer Zalman, the Gona Goinim, who lived in Yerushalayim at that time, one of the greatest Goinim. And he came there, and then suddenly this Goin said to this Zuckermandel, why are you acting in such a strange way, like a clown and misbehaving and doing all your funny acts? Why don't you say something in learning? He just came out and on Purim, so happens in Lernen. And he started off a Masechta, and this gentleman, this Zuckermandel, started continuing the Masechta from what he left off. And it went from one Masechta to another. Then the Oilem saw with who we're dealing with. So he also disguised himself all his life, but the secret came out who he really is on Purim. And I'm sorry for the say at his bris. But it's an interesting story, the way it's presented. He said that his bris, nichnes yai in yotze soy, these are the words he said. And it turned out when he turned 70, the soid of who he really was came out. It's an interesting story, Yerushalayim Shalmano. I can't guarantee everything, but it's nicely put, and it's an interesting story. So again, I want to bring out one point. That Purim is a time where we cannot disguise ourselves anymore. We cannot disguise ourselves, that's one thing. We have to come up with the real truth. So we give a person to drink. Chai v'nifri suma adelo yoda. And the pshat in Adel Yoda does not mean that he has to reach a stage that he's not aware the chiluk, the difference in Orah Hovel Bukhmatra, and if he's going to say faket chas v'sholem, the opposite. That's not what the Chazal wanted him to do. The pshat in the Chazal is, b'derech efshar Adel Yoda, he himself should not be conscious of what he's saying, he shouldn't be aware, Adel Yoda, and let's see, in this state of subconscious, or whatever, if he's still going to say Baruch Mordechai, we're going to give him, put him into this state of mind where he's pushing him a lot working, and let's hear what he has to say now. He won't be aware, but let's see if he's going to continue saying Taka Ovah Homan Borech Motrai. Then it's a symbol that's what he really is. And he's not living in disguise. That's what Purim is all about, Rabbi Yisai. And God should help us that we should understand the concept. We can enjoy ourselves Purim, believe me. It's a nice time. And the children have to enjoy themselves. But you know, we have to behave Purim different to what behaves as children, with all the same shtick. It's very nice. And all the mitzvahs, hayoyim, are beautiful, with avos reyim and all the rest of it. But we're never to forget the ikr she be'ikrim. Let's get to know ourselves. Let's know who we really are, and then to continue after Purim, and see if we really understand what it means, and to continue in a way that we should not cheat ourselves anymore. And do all our mitzvahs with a hava, and whatever we do in public, we should do in private. Whatever we say, we should believe in it as well, and behave accordingly. And the very short health that we should reach the madrigas of kabbalah satur mahava, and also to reach to ourselves, as on this galavar and the pnimius of who we really are, because every yid, deep under, really wants to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But let us prove it. As the Rambam says in Hilchos Geirushin. So let us prove that we are these people, and we belong to this Klal Yisrael, who really are zoche to be mekabel the Torah with a pnimius aleif, and let our acts, peh and lev, all comply one with the other, in zoche zayin to the shleimus, in Torah, and avodas Hashem.